Thank you for listening to our Bayshore Rehoboth podcast. We always love to hear stories about how Bayshore is helping to have an impact in your life. We would love for you to take just a moment and send us an email at amen@bayshorecc.org. Also, be sure to stop by our website at bayshorecc.org to find out all kinds of information, including past messages, videos, pictures, links to social media, and an opportunity to give online. Thanks again for joining us, and prepare your heart to hear a word from God today.
Good morning, Bayshore. How's everybody doing this morning? Yeah, so glad you guys are here this morning. My name's Cotter. I'm the Next Steps Director here at Bayshore. I'm excited to be hanging out with you guys again this week. We're going to continue our series, Focus, that we started last week, and it's super cool. I didn't tell Bo what I was talking about, but like all of those songs are talking about what we're talking about today, which is grace. So I'm super excited about that. Can you guys do me a favor and make some noise for our first-time guests? Today's your first time with us. We're so psyched to have you with us. Can we also give it up for our Facebook Live family? Glad to have everybody on Facebook joining us, all our podcast listeners joining us. And last week we started this series called Focus, and we talked about Peter stepping out on the water. We're going to be talking about that some more today. And it's kind of funny. I was thinking about the title of the series, Focus, and it's kind of ironic because I'm pretty horrible at focusing on things. And is anybody else kind of bad at getting distracted by things? Does that happen to anybody else? That happens to me all the time. And a couple weeks ago, it happened in a moment that I'm not super proud of. I was at home, and I was watching the USA Women's World Cup. Is anybody happy we won the World Cup? That was pretty awesome, right? Even if you're not a soccer fan, our women's team is so good. So that was exciting. But I was watching our semifinal against England, and it was really intense. And my wife got home from work, and shout out to my wife, and she was telling me about her day, and we were just kind of talking, and in the middle of that, I was, you know, listening to her day and kind of watching soccer, and during that, there was this penalty kick, and our goalie, the USA goalie, saved this penalty kick. In the middle of when Emily was telling me about her day, I got up and started screaming about the penalty kick, not about her day. So that's not a pro tip to all the guys out there that are married, not a good decision right there. But I really struggle to focus on things, even when I'm really trying and when things are important. And so today, as we hop back into this story about Jesus walking on the water, we're going to be looking at how Peter lost his focus. And we learned so much from Peter last week about how he stepped out in faith and how great that was. Today we're going to learn a lot from Peter, but we're going to learn a lot from Peter about how he kind of messed up. We're going to learn how to not be like Peter today. So if you weren't with us last week, or if you're like me and you have some problems focusing and paying attention, we're all going to get caught up together. So last week we started this story. We talked about all these things that Jesus had been through in this one day, how he had learned of a good friend of his that had died, how he had fed this crowd of over 5,000 people, and then he spent some time praying, and then after he was praying, he looked out and he saw his disciples were on this lake in a boat, and they were fighting these strong waves in the storm. So Jesus went out to him, and all of us would have just hopped in our boat and gone out and tried to help, but Jesus doesn't need a boat because he's Jesus. So he just walked out on the water towards them. So he goes out, he's out on the water, and then Peter sees Jesus, and he says, "Hey, Jesus, if that's you, tell me to hop out of the boat and come out on the water to you." And Jesus is like, "Yeah, like, come out." So Peter hopped out, and then Peter's walking on the water. And it was super cool, and that's where we're jumping back into this story today. So we're going to be in the book of Matthew. We're going to be in chapter 14. If you have your Bible and you want to start turning there. And if you don't have a Bible, we have these orange Bibles out in the lobby at the desk for free. And we would love for you to take one of these Bibles home with you. So Matthew chapter 14, and we're going to start in verse 29. So verse 29 says, "Yes, come," Jesus said. So Peter went over the side of the boat and walked on the water toward Jesus. But when he saw the strong wind and the waves, he was terrified, and he began to sink. And what Peter did by stepping out of the boat was awesome. He took this major step of faith. He put his love for Jesus into action. But right after that, he made this huge mistake. So look back at verse 30 with me. It says, "But when he saw the strong wind and the waves, he was terrified, and he began to sink." So Peter, who's been this awesome example of stepping out in faith for Jesus, he became terrified. and he started to sink. And that seems wild, right? Like, one second he's stepping out in faith, he's this great example for us, and the next second he's sinking. Isn't that crazy? Like, what happened with him? What changed for him in that moment? Well, look at what his focus was on when he took that step of faith. When he took that step to hop out of that boat, he was just looking at Jesus. He wasn't concerned about anything that was around him. He was just focused on getting to Jesus. But when he began to sink, his focus was on the strong wind and the waves. He took his focus off of Jesus, and he got into trouble. So if you're taking notes this morning, our first point is, when our focus shifts off of Jesus, we sink. When our focus shifts off of Jesus, we sink. My dad is a landscaper, so I grew up always working with him doing random landscaping things. We would plant plants and mulch, and we would put in patios and sidewalks and stuff. And every spring, what we would do is we would clean fish ponds. If you don't know what a fish pond is, we got a picture of one to put up here. It's really pretty. It took me about 20 minutes of Facebook stalking my dad to find that picture. It's from like 2013. You know, when you're Facebook stalking your dad, you got too much time on your hands. But that's a fish pond, and that's what one looks like when it's clean and it's beautiful. The water's like amazing. But as the year goes on, leaves fly in, random insects and bugs fly in, and algae starts growing, and they get really gross. So you have to hop in there and clean them. And really what you do, you hop in, you get all that water out, and then you try to get all the bugs and algae and stuff out, and then you take a power washer, and you just shoot it all, and then all the other stuff comes out, and then it's totally clean. So there was this one day that I was working on this pond, and it was in the woods, and it was like right off this deck by a stream. And so there were a lot of bugs and just nasty stuff around. So I'm cleaning this pond, and you have to like hop in there. It's disgusting. And so you hop in there, and I'm power washing this stuff off. And as I'm doing it, this big nasty bug thing flies onto my hand. I don't know what kind of bug it was, but it was gross and massive and disgusting. So it like flies onto my hand, and when I saw it, I totally lost focus of what I was doing, and I was just terrified that there was this big nasty alien bug on me. So naturally, I shot at it with the power washer. Makes sense, right? You shoot at stuff that you don't like. So I was shooting at this thing, but the problem was it was still on my hand when I was shooting at it. And shooting at yourself with a power washer is a bad idea. So I melted the skin off my hand. You can still kind of see a scar that I have, but I totally lost focus. I saw this terrifying thing, and I panicked. In the moment, I thought it'd be a good idea to shoot myself. When we lose our focus, we do some really, really stupid stuff, right? And that's what happened with Peter. Peter was doing great, man. He was walking on the water. But the second that his focus left Jesus and shifted to the waves and the wind that surrounded him, he got into some trouble. And when we take our focus off of Jesus and we start focusing on things in our lives that aren't going so well, we get overwhelmed. We start to struggle with our situation. We lose confidence in Jesus that he's really there. We lose confidence that he's really enough for us. And in those moments, we can start to spiral. We look around at our situation, and it just seems more and more impossible. And we realize that in those moments, we don't have the strength to get out of that, and we start to kind of panic. And that happens because we're no longer trusting in Jesus to take care of us. When our focus shifts from Jesus, and we instead start looking at all of our difficulties and the storms around us, we allow our fear to kind of take over, and that fear overwhelms us. We stop thinking about how great Jesus is. We stop thinking about how powerful and loving he is and how much he cares for us and how he promises to provide for us. And instead, we allow our circumstances to be the only thing we're thinking about. And just like I got overwhelmed with that fish pond and started shooting myself in the hand with that thing, we just take our focus off of God and we do stupid things. That's what happens when we take our focus off of Jesus. We allow our fear to blind us to the promises of God. And that's what fear does. Fear blinds us to the promises of God. And that's why we sink when our focus shifts off of Jesus. But the goal, obviously, is to keep our focus on Jesus. That's what we want in both the good times and in the bad times in life. And we talked last week about how important it is to be consistently reading the Bible. And there are so many examples in the Bible of Jesus followers who have been through like all these crazy intense moments where they followed God, they've stepped out in faith, and then right after that, they take their focus off of Jesus and they get into trouble. Think about Noah when he got off the ark. You think about David when he stayed home from the war. You think about Lot's wife, like literally right after they ran out of the city that was being destroyed. Think about the Israelites, like every single day. I feel like that was one of their like routines. And these examples, along with this one about Peter, they're huge for us because they remind us of the dangers of taking our eyes off of Jesus. We have such a great wealth of knowledge available to us in the Bible. It's full of good examples and bad examples of Jesus followers who've come before us, and we can learn so much from their choices. Life tries to overwhelm us, and life will overwhelm us if we let it. It'll shift our focus off of Jesus if we let it. But reading the Bible and learning from these examples of those who have come before us helps us to keep our focus on Jesus. And when we keep our focus on Jesus, instead of sinking like Peter did, we'll still experience these trials and storms in life, but we'll have our eyes on Jesus. And all of those trials and storms we're experiencing will seem so small compared to the joy that we have from living for Jesus. There's a guy in the Bible named Paul, and I was telling the students this week, because we were reading some Galatians on Wednesday, and I was telling them that if anybody ever asks you who wrote a book of the Bible, you just say Paul, because almost half of the time you're going to be right. But there's this guy, Paul, he was amazing. He was a missionary. He went around starting all kinds of churches and encouraging Jesus followers, and doing this came with a price. Paul experienced some really crazy things, some really negative things in his life, and he details some of these in the book of 2 Corinthians. He talks about how multiple times he was imprisoned, he was shipwrecked, he was beaten and flogged, he went without food, just some really awful stuff. And all of that happened just because he was trying to share Jesus with people. Now, you'd think with all that happening to him that he'd be kind of discouraged and bummed out, but let's look at something that he says in the book of Romans. So we'll toss that up on the screen. This is so cool. He says, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is going to be revealed to us." I love that verse because Paul, this man who's experienced so many difficult things, is the one who wrote that. And what he's saying is, there's no storm that we're going to experience in life that can block out how great Jesus is. Living for Jesus is the ultimate. Jesus gives us peace. He gives us joy. He gives us life. And storms are going to come in our lives. But when they do, we get to decide how we're going to react. We can be like Peter, and we can focus on them, and we can allow our fear and anxiety to overwhelm us. Or we can be like Paul, and we can remember that even though we're going through these difficult situations, we still have joy. We still have peace. We're still living for Jesus. And no matter what we're going through, we're always going to have Jesus by our side to get through it, and he's going to give us the strength to remain joyful in the midst of it. And we don't have to give in to the trials that we experience like what Peter did, because Paul didn't. Paul kept his mind on the things of Jesus. He kept his mind on the joys of living for God, regardless of his circumstances. So we keep our focus on Jesus. When we keep our focus on Jesus, we don't sink. When we keep our focus on Jesus, we don't sink. Let's read verse 30 again, and I want to look at the last part of it, and we're going to look at how Peter responded after he took his eyes off of Jesus. So verse 30 says, "But when he saw the strong wind and the waves, he was terrified, and he began to sink. 'Save me, Lord,' he shouted." So as we've seen this morning, the goal is to keep our focus on Jesus, but there are times that each of us sink. There are times that each of us take our focus off of Jesus. Times that we allow our circumstances and our fears to kind of get the better of us. And in those times, as we see from this example of Peter, we need to call out to Jesus because Jesus rescues us when we call out to him. So that's our second point this morning if you're taking notes. Jesus rescues us when we call out to him. Do you guys remember a couple weeks ago when we had Mario and Luigi here? We were taking pictures of them in the lobby. That was pretty awesome. If this is your first time, you're like, what are you guys doing? I thought this was a church. But no, it was awesome. So our kids are learning about Power Up in the month of June, and that kind of tied into Mario and Luigi, and it was super awesome. We had a couple of our kids volunteers, Butch in the back, dressed up like Mario, and Matt was dressed up like Luigi. It was super awesome, and I think we got a picture from that day. Yes. It was awesome. Also, if you're not doing peace signs and pictures, you're doing them wrong. But you can see, that was like such a fun day. So you guys see that giant sign behind them? It's pretty big. It's got a, like a Bayshore logo on it. So earlier in that week, I was here and I was setting up that sign, and we keep that sign rolled up in this like cardboard tube when we don't have it displayed. And the cardboard tube's like 12 feet tall. It's huge. It's like twice my size. And we keep it in our back closet back here. And if you've not been in our back closet, I'll just paint a picture for you. It's about the size of the inside of my like Honda Accord. It's very, very tiny. Very tiny. And it has everything that we have. So everything's stored in this closet. So I'm back there and I'm trying to get it, and it's in the worst spot ever. It's in the far back corner, tucked behind some like pipes and stuff. So I'm back there, I'm trying to pull it out. I'm moving brooms and I'm moving mops and boxes and all kinds of stuff. And as I'm moving all this stuff, I see the snow shovel, and I was like, all right, if I move this snow shovel, I'm totally gonna be able to get this thing out. Like it had already been 10 minutes at this point. So I moved the snow shovel, and as I moved it, I hear this pop, and then I heard this hissing sound. I was like, that seems strange. Like, what's that all about? So it sounded like air was coming out, and I didn't know what the air was. There's so many pipes back there. It could have been anything. I didn't know if it was gas. I didn't know if I was about to die. I didn't know what was happening. So I'm looking around, and I'm trying to figure it out. I look down at my feet, and my feet are wet. I was like, looks like I busted a water pipe. So I started looking back there, and I see it, and I busted a water pipe. Like, it was gushing out all over the place. And so I'm back there and I'm looking at it and I'm kind of freaking out and the water's rising. And so I'm like, what do I do? So I look over and I find the shutoff valve. I'm like, I know what those do. So I turned it and nothing happened. And the water's rising. So I started kind of freaking out. And I wasn't the only one here. Joel, our campus pastor, was here. And so the storage closet's over on this side. And Joel was over back there in the next steps room working on his message. So I was like, all right, I got to make a run for it. So I sprinted to the hallway over here and just shouted as loud as I could, like, Joel, dude, come help me. Like, I'm dying. And then I sprinted back in there, and I look at the Niagara Falls situation, and it's, like, terrible. And I'm trying to find buckets and stuff to get all this water to go into. And then Joel comes sprinting through the building. He comes into the room. He looks at it, and in, like, 2 seconds, he's like, there's a different shutoff valve. And he turns it, and it's done. It was amazing. Like, he totally came in and he saved it. And the water was like up to my ankles at that point, but it was awesome. Like, he totally came in. He saved the day. There was no rainbow, but the flood was over. It was amazing. I have not been that terrified in a long time. Our security cameras caught some of this. So I wanted to show you, here's the first, this is when I busted the pipe. That's real footage. It's high definition. And then when Joel came to save me after he heard me yelling, he was there. He was sprinting. And those are actually, he actually sent me those as some gifts later on in the day. They sum up what happened pretty accurately. That situation, that flooding and everything, I was terrified. And I just called out to Joel and I was like, dude, like, you gotta save me. And in the story, we see Peter, and he was sinking, he's fearing for his life, and who did he call out to? He called out to Jesus to save him. When he realized that he was sinking, when he realized that he'd taken his eyes off of Jesus, he knew that he needed to call out to Jesus to be rescued. Jesus rescues us when we call out to him, and in those times when we take our eyes off of Jesus, we need to call out to him for help. So let's keep reading. Let's look at how Jesus responded to this call to help in verse 31. It says, Jesus immediately reached out and grabbed him. Isn't that awesome? Peter had hopped out of the boat in faith, and then he took his eyes off of Jesus. He started to sink, and as he began to sink, he calls out for help, and Jesus says, nah, man, I'm going to let you sink for a little bit. No, he says he immediately reached out, and he immediately grabbed him. And look, when we make mistakes, I feel like too often we think that Jesus doesn't really want to save us. We feel that maybe God has forgiveness for everybody around us, but he doesn't really have forgiveness for us. But when it comes to ourselves, we just think that, you know, we don't really deserve his forgiveness, so he's not going to give it to us. But guys, that couldn't be further from the truth. There's never a time when Jesus will refuse to forgive you of your mistakes. There's never a time where you're going to cry out to God and ask for help, and he's going to say, nah, like, you've made too many mistakes. I'm not going to rescue this time. Or no, like, you should have known better, so I'm not going to rescue you. That's how we feel about our mistakes. But that's not how God feels about us. And that's not how the forgiveness of Jesus works. His forgiveness is complete. His forgiveness is completely without exception. I can't tell you how many times that I've made mistakes and I feel like I'm not worthy of being rescued by Jesus. And maybe you can relate to that. But the amazing thing is, so no matter how we feel about ourselves, Jesus will always be there to forgive us and to rescue us. Peter had stepped out in faith just like moments before this, and he did something that none of the other disciples were willing to do. So if anyone should have known better in that moment than to take his eyes off of Jesus, it was Peter. But even when he made that mistake, Jesus was right there for him, rescuing him, pulling him up out of the water. And look, if you've taken your eyes off of Jesus, or maybe if you've never put your eyes on Jesus to begin with, call out to him to rescue you. Don't let the fear of admitting your mistakes get in the way of reaching out to Jesus, because he's there and he wants you to call out to him. A few years ago, right after I met my wife, Emily, I think it was like our second date, we went out to dinner, and after we ate, we were getting in our cars and we were going home. And Emily turned on her car and it didn't turn on, like didn't start. So I hopped out of my car, and guys, you know how it is. Like when you're the guy and there's car problems, falls on you, right? You're like, oh yeah, I got this. I don't know why. I know nothing about cars. But so I hopped out of the car and I went over and was like, oh, let's see if we can figure this out. And so we think it was the battery. Emily probably figured out it was the battery. She knows more than I do. So she was like, I think it's the battery. So I know how to fix batteries. You grab jumper cables, you grab your phone, and you YouTube how to jumpstart a car, right? So that's what I did. And if anybody out there is a fan of The Office, the video that we watched to teach us how to jumpstart the car was Jim Halpert from The Office. I think it was like a Progressive commercial, and he was literally showing you how to jumpstart a car. So it was awesome. So we did that. Unfortunately, it didn't work. So we felt like there were no options, so we called her dad. We're like, hey, like, I know you live like 30 minutes away, but could you come here late at night and help fix this car? And we felt really bad, like, asking him to do that. But he was like, hey, don't worry about it. I'm already on the way to my car. I'll be there in, like, 30 minutes. I'm on my way. And it was so awesome. He didn't have to do that. He was, like, in bed. He was chilling, and he got up, and he came to help us out, and he didn't think anything of it. He was just there for us. And that's exactly how Jesus is with us when we ask for help. He doesn't hesitate. He doesn't ask us to change first. When we ask him to save us, he's there for us, and he's there for us immediately. And we see in these verses that right when Peter asked for help, Jesus immediately reached out to him. He didn't tell Peter, man, you got to earn the right to be saved before I rescue you. No, Jesus rescued Peter in the middle of his failure. Not after he overcame it on his own and proved that he was worthy of being saved. So don't wait for Jesus to rescue you until you feel like you are worthy of being saved. Because look, none of us are worthy of being saved. None of us deserve that. But Jesus wants to meet us in the middle of our failure, even when we're weak. He's not waiting for you to get your life together. He's just waiting for you to call out to him. Before we leave, let's finish out with the second half of verse 31. Look at this. It says, Jesus immediately reached out and grabbed him. You have so little faith, Jesus said. Why did you doubt me? So Jesus immediately saved Peter, and when Peter called out for help, and then he spoke to Peter, and he said, why did you doubt me? And then the next verse right after this one says that they climbed back into the boat. And what that tells us is this wasn't like a real question. What Jesus was doing, he was not trying to make an example out of Peter and shame him in front of everybody else for making a mistake. What Jesus was telling Peter is that he should have trusted in him, that he was going to be safe in the midst of the storm, because Jesus was there watching out for him. Jesus was reminding Peter in this moment that he cared for him and that he had no reason to doubt. Even in the middle of this overwhelming storm, there was nothing that could stop Jesus from keeping Peter safe. That was such a loving reminder to Peter that he never had to doubt Jesus' ability to keep him safe in the midst of trials. And that's something that I hope that we all can take away from this story. Jesus is always able to provide for us in the middle of the trials that we experience. You're never going to go through a situation, no matter how impossible it seems, that Jesus will not be able to rescue you from. He is sufficient to provide for you in any situation in life, And all we need to do is keep our focus on him and not lose sight of how amazing he is. And if you haven't made that decision to call out to Jesus in the past, or if you've made that decision and then you've taken your eyes off of him, don't wait to call out to Jesus to rescue you. Let's pray. God, I thank you so much for the life that you've given us. I thank you for this example of Peter and all the things that he went through in this story, from making this great decision and the step of faith to then losing sight of you to then calling back out to you for help. And I pray, God, that you would help us to keep our focus on you. And I pray that when we lose sight of you, I pray that you would help us to reach back out to you. And I pray, God, if anybody's here this morning and they haven't made that decision to reach out to you, God, I pray that you would help them to do that. I pray that they would realize how amazing you are and how you change lives and how you can provide for us in any situation we go through. I pray, God, that you would keep our focus on you as we enter into this next week. And I pray all this in your name. Amen.